6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, I am going to create a CU Buffs enemy here in the state of Colorado, in the city of Greeley, Colorado, in the studio of KFKA, in the podcast room, the control room of KFKA. That is you, Angel. I've narrowed it down. I think theoretically you should root for CU to lose. I'm telling you. This is what you, because you're Alabama.
As a Bama fan, I will.
Yes, so you should root for CSU to beat CU. I'm not rooting. You think I'm rooting. In that game, I actually don't root. I want
then
it to be a
great
game.
Why are you asking me to do it?
Because I have to give, you're an enemy of the Buffs now.
No.
Yes, it's fine. Let the
if
hate
I'm an enemy
flow
of the
through
Buffs,
you.
I'm an enemy of the Rams, too.
Well, no, the Rams aren't on your radar. Jay Norvell is not in danger of usurping Nick Saban.
Which version of me are you talking to? Are you talking to the Alabama fan, the UNC fan, or the radio
the
producer?
The Alabama fan.
Okay.
You should be annoyed, because you have said so on this station,
yes,
that you are annoyed by primetime and the Buffs and all the national talk.
I was for the first 3 months.
Because
now it's kind of, they're not doing anything
their
to annoy
scrimmage
me.
Got way more attention than Alabama's scrimmage. But it did. That's the truth.
Yes.
Everybody.
The scrimmage wasn't annoying. It's the video. It's the constant videos. It's
which
the constant,
led to the
we're
scrimmage.
So good. We're going to have all the newest things. We're going to be great. We have former players saying they're working on lifting weights better. Okay. Then why did
yes!
you transfer, bro?
This is what I'm taught. Yeah. Let the hate flow through
you.
You
want to know why he's working on his technique more? Because the guy that took his job is lifting 50 pounds more than him.
This is what I'm talking about. You're doing everything I want you to do. Keep doing it.
As a Bama fan.
I'm proud of you.
This is hurting my radio personality.
No, it's not.
Yes,
no,
it is.
Not the Alabama. People know you're an Alabama fan. That's fine. You pay attention. You cover these teams. You're going to know what to talk about come Monday after a game. But I just think that you should be like, hey, CU, there you go. You can't play in the big boy leagues.
Yeah.
Because primetime could be the prime replacement to take out Nick Saban for the number one job at the Affleck commercials. Because right now it's Nick Saban and then it's primetime.
Okay.
If primetime goes and wins it, if CU wins it all this year, like, I get that that's a big if, but the possibility is in front of them as far as getting into a college football playoff. When I say the possibility, I mean that the schedule in front of them, there would be big enough wins if they went undefeated to put them into a college football playoff, correct? Meaning you beat TCU, you would beat Oregon, USC. Those kind of wins would get you there. Go undefeated and do that, right? So we're just saying, like CSU, no path. They could go undefeated unless CU wins out, save for the CSU game. And that's still going to be, that still wouldn't be there. So for you, it's like every loss is just like, yeah, see, you're just the fly on the shoulder. Get away. Get away. This is why you should be rooting do they play on a Saturday or Friday? What's September 16th? What's September 16th? You'll be rooting for the Rams. I will get you a Rams shirt to wear. What size are you?
3X.
I'm going to get it for you. That is a, okay, for some reason I thought it was a Friday. It's a Saturday. So we're going through the schedule, and as we are going through the schedule, I can't get you to pick who's going to win.
I don't know.
I don't have a good feeling
about either one of these teams.
Then just
in that
shoot it in the dark.
Game.
It's a sports show. Just like, what do you feel?
I feel that CU is coming off a loss, where they maybe feel a little embarrassed. CSU is coming off a loss on their home field. You give the edge to the home field, so CU.
Okay. You got your pick.
Okay.
So
can we be done now?
No, we're just on week two. But you just picked your mortal.
They're not my mortal enemy.
You just picked your enemy, your greatest enemy, to beat CSU, Angel.
You wish you could be that. No. That
That's what I'm saying. See, now you're making
and that's
me.
That's not even a position of like you don't want to be the most hated team, because then that means you're not anything.
Alabama's one of the most hated teams, aren't they?
Not to me.
Well, no, not to you, but to the country.
What does that matter?
Well, I'm not saying it matters.
It isn't about them.
I'm just trying to make you realize that you should have some real hate for CU this year.
I do.
Real hate.
But that doesn't supersede my media.
So you're picking CU to win. You clear cut said CU's winning, guaranteed.
Sure. I just want to be done with this.
Oh no, we've got a long way to go. But are you rooting for CU? You're rooting for CSU.
No.
Who would you rather win?
The fans.
Come on.
The state of Colorado.
You're riding the fence right now.
Yes.
You would rather I'll just say it. You would rather CSU win.
Sure. Yes. I mean, it would be cool because it would take CU down a peg, and it would be so fun for a week, and then they'll win three more, and it's, never mind. And that'll end up being their one loss on the season.
I want CU to be undefeated now. I do. I want them to be undefeated because I want you to realize how much you should be hating them. If you would have hated them more, they might not have been undefeated. It. You're neutral.
I'm neutral for that game because it's such a big game and it's meaningful for our listeners and us because we're talking about it.
Well, it's very meaningful for our area, no question about it. Tell Clay when he's on next that you're not rooting for him to win. Just tell
him. I'm not
rooting
for you to
lose either,
Clay.
It's going to make him feel
sad. If you're listening right now, I hope you have a great game.
Middle Tennessee.
Yes.
They're at Middle Tennessee. Are you rooting for Oh, it's fun. So Middle Tennessee beat CSU last year 34-19. It took a monster comeback just to make it that good of a score. But Clay Millen, I think he threw three touchdowns to Torrey Horton that game. I was at that game. It was bad in the first half. But that was before I really knew how bad of a season it was going to be for CSU. So there's our one win so far. We both got them beating Middle Tennessee?
Yes.
Okay, 1-2. Who else do they have? Oh, Utah Tech?
Probably.
How good was Utah Tech last year? 4-7? What are they in? They're in a conference you should know, Angel, probably.
Never heard of Utah Tech.
They're in the same conference as Southern Utah now. So you should be rooting for them to lose.
Southern Utah is in what? They're not in the Big Sky.
They used to be in the Big Sky. Well, now they're in the Flibberglogger. Well, because they left you. They said, this conference ain't it. We're going to the WAC, man. We're out.
You left us. We took your coach.
Okay. CSU wins that game.
Yes.
Okay. There's your second win. Do we see a third win here? Utah State. They're at Utah State on Saturday, October 7th. Utah State was
6-500
team. Okay.
5-3 in the Mountain West.
That's the one where I'm kind of like, sure, why not? I think Utah State should be okay. Okay, I'm picking with my brain today. They don't win that game.
I'm with you.
They're 2-3 now. Boise State, it's at home. They've never done it. They've never beat the Broncos, so they are. That's not changing. I think Athlon has them picked to win the conference over Air Force. At UNLV, do we see a third dub coming?
Yes.
Me too. Wow, we're the exact same. And we're both rooting equally. Home against Air Force.
No.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Is Air Force supposed to be good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
You're like my dynamite. Mm-hmm. At Wyoming. Yeah?
I'm going to say yes.
There's four. They're 4-5 right now. That's a respectable year so far. And you've got three games to go to get two more wins for a bowl. San Diego State. We don't know where they're going to be in the future, but we do know they'll be in the Mountain West Conference next season. They were about, what were they? They made a bowl game last year.
7-6, 5-3 in the conference.
That's a home game for CSU. There it is. There's five. I'm going to give them their fifth win. They're 5-5. Where are you going?
I say they lose that game.
They lose? Okay. So you've still got them at 4. Home against Nevada. Jay Norvell's old stomping ground. They beat them last year thanks to some weird crap happening. I don't even think Clay didn't play that game, and they still beat them. I like them. They're 6.
There's 5.
Okay. So you agree with Athlon so far. At Hawaii.
This one's weird.
I got them beating Hawaii. Is that 7 wins? I have them getting 7 wins. Hawaii, Nevada, San Diego State, Wyoming, UNLV, Utah Tech, Middle Tennessee. I got 7 wins. And I don't feel like I had to try that hard to convince myself to give them 7 wins. San Diego State maybe is the weird one. So do they beat Hawaii in your mind? That's a bowl.
Probably, yeah.
So yes.
I mean, I just worry about the time and
yeah,
visiting. It's in Hawaii. It's,
mm-hmm.
It looks like Thanksgiving week-ish. Ugh. Sure.
So not? There you go. CSU's bowling, fantastic, according to both of us. And you rooted for that all the way through. And if I invited you to a game, I'll pay for the ticket, would you go?
It depends.
What? I'm paying for the ticket. I'll buy you a beer and a hot dog.
That's awesome. That'd be super fun.
So you in?
Depends.
Can I write you down?
It depends.
Can I pencil you in? What?
Depends.
What does it depend on? UNC's schedule?
One, it depends on who's Alabama playing at what time.
Oh, that's right. You got Alabama.
Who's UNC playing at what time?
So let's say that Alabama's a night game and I'm inviting you to see CSU at like 1:10. But UNC's playing at that time. Free ticket, free beer, free hot dog.
Is UNC on the road or at home?
Oh, at home. They're here in Greeley.
Who's CSU playing?
Does it matter?
Yes, it does matter.
Boise State.
Ooh, might have to take Cody to that game.
No, I've already invited you. You can't like kick me out. I'm the guy that's paying for you. Cody would probably buy the tickets, though. There you go. You in? I'll forego my media pass that day.
I'm not going to give you a yes or no in July.
I'll forego my media pass that day, and we will go as fans. And we will have the best of times.
That sounds fun, but I'm not going to give you a definite answer
three months out.
It's football season, Brady. I can't promise anything.
There's a wedding in football season.
Yeah, but Bama has a bye that weekend.
I thought he had scheduled the wedding. Can we talk about this on the air?
I don't know. I don't know if he announced it yet.
He announced that they're getting married on the air, right?
I didn't know they were even engaged. But
Tanner's
getting married.
In October.
Mm-hmm. Bold move.
It's a bold move.
When you're at a sports
station. Because football season every weekend is the weekend. Every weekend is the weekend. However, I was happy they did not schedule the wedding for the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Because locally, that's the biggest game on my radar. You know, talking about college. Because, I mean, we talk Buffs and Rams, and they play each other. You know, I talk Broncos and stuff, but they don't play a team that I talk about a lot. So I talk about both those teams. That's why that's a huge game. It's an absolute huge game. All right, so I've got them winning 7. There we go. And you've got them winning 6. We both got them bowling, at least. Not sure how I'll feel when we get to it. What will change? The only one I'm concerned with as far as the win pick, I'm not even that concerned about CU right now. Has it died down in my mind, maybe, the hype? I don't know. Part of me wants CU to really rock, though. Part of me wants CU to be a powerhouse this year, as soon as this year, because it makes it really compelling. But I think it's going to take a little time. So Athlon Sports has them winning 4 games this year. And then Bleacher Report came out and has them winning 1 game. Now, again, that's one writer from Bleacher Report. I don't know if that's like Athlon Sports. It's like they get a bunch of people together. They come to a consensus. This is where we're saying. This is the average. Bleacher Report, one writer came out and said, I think it was Bleacher Report, that said CU would just beat Stanford this season.
Forgot. CU plays 2 games before that.
Oh, Nebraska.
CU and Nebraska.
That's right, Nebraska. How did we forget about Nebraska?
So that changes everything. If CU already has 2 games of experience, CSU's coming off a possible home loss.
Who did you pick to win that one? You have them winning
some
6 games.
Colorado University. May or may not have a state in it.
So now you're changing that because CU has one more game of experience?
Yeah. I think CU wins that now.
So you're kind of rooting for the Buffs, huh?
No.
You're all in on the Buff
Do
train.
I think the Colorado Buffaloes will beat the Colorado State Rams in that football game?
Yes.
Yes.
You do. Now, because they have one other game of experience.
Yes.
Yeah, but Jay Norvell has, what, the 11 games of experience with CSU.
It's on the road.
That'd be tough. What about that game? You going down like, to that game? That one we could actually get in as media people, but
it'd be fun.
Can't drink beer.
I'm not going to say like that's not going to be a fun time.
You can't drink beer though in the media area. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to have a beer there?
No.
Go to the student section. 21 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Angels all in on the Rams and all out on the Buffs. There, no, he's rooting for the Buffs now.
Not all out on all of that.
You're getting there though. I'm telling you, man, I'm rooting for the Buffs now. I'm rooting for them to go undefeated because they'll be in the college football playoff and they'll probably take Alabama's spot. And we have created a rivalry here for our very own Angel. 22 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor was formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. My guy Ryan over there, he's the one I know personally. He's one of those friends I always talk about. Got to know him at Cables. Great people go there, and obviously he's one of them. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld County, and are go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Guys, I'm telling you, Ryan's a down-to-earth guy that you can just sit down and have a real conversation with, and he's not boring you to tears with all this insurance talk. He's laying it to you straight, and he can help you out. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy, Ryan, at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. Again, 970-674-8825. Nuggets Summer League, we've got, what, two games under our belts? Saw one on Friday and then a game last night. Or was that Thursday?
Friday and Sunday.
Friday and Sunday. I have the Friday game recorded. I still haven't gone back to watch it. But I did watch last night's game with Denver and Atlanta. And, you know, you tune in for that. You're basically just watching scrimmages. So if your expectations are anything, then you should probably get some help. Seek some help if you're like watching that game going, come on, Denver, pull your head out of your butts. You got to win. Nobody cares. The win loss thing, okay, they can win a championship and all that, but nobody cares. All you're doing is looking at specific matchups, specific players, seeing how they look. Happy or do you feel better or worse about Peyton Watson's performance in two games? Or neutral, like it didn't really change.
Neutral. I mean, it's obvious this guy is ready for the NBA. Yeah, he got, you know, almost around 20 minutes or so late in the year. At this point, it's good to see him out there and see him, you know, show off some of his skills. But I'm still kind of waiting for, you know, October, November for that to really settle in and see what kind of minutes he's really going to get off the bench.
Yeah. Again, Summer League, you'd see a different player. Peyton Watson's going to play differently in meaningful games when he's with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and all of those guys that know what the hell they're doing, and they're going up against defenses that know what they're doing. So Peyton Watson is going to play within himself. He's not going to take a lot of interesting shots. This one, these are games where, yeah, dude, we kind of want you experimenting a little bit. These games mean absolutely nothing, so go ahead and try a few things. He's got a slow process as far as that shot release goes. I didn't notice that as much in the regular season because he didn't shoot a whole heck of a lot. He had some, but so he was fine. Gillespie's definitely my highlight walking out of there. He was, what was he? He was all right on Friday. I just looked at the line.
Yeah.
He wasn't
great on Friday. You could kind of sense maybe the leg was kind of bothering him just a little bit, maybe just getting used to playing game speed again. But yeah, if it doesn't work out in game one, usually game two, they'll figure it out.
So game two, he was aggressive. He had 9 points in the first quarter. And he's a ball handler. He can handle the ball. I think he gets a little sticky with the basketball at times. I think when he's getting smothered by a defense at the top of the key, you know, where you'll usually pass it off to somebody at the top of the key so you can reset, run around, find a different opening. I feel like he called for the basketball too quickly after passing it off, and then he was back in the danger zone. That's where you saw some of his turnovers. But he's an aggressive player, and he's kind of ruthless.
Yeah, and those miscues may just be because they're inexperienced. And, you know, in the NBA, you see a player get pinned down. Their reaction is instant to get out of the double team. These players, they may not know they see a double team, and they're just staring at it.
Yeah. They don't know necessarily how to get rid of it.
Right, but Collins, a very intriguing piece on this bench. Obviously, he didn't play. Was he in the G League last year, or he was hurt last year?
Yeah.
But you can see he's got that hunger. He's got, you know, that energy, and you can see the trend of that with at least Calvin Booth and Malone's leadership on this team. They go for these more experienced college players like the Christian Browns, like Julian and Jalen, who have played at their universities for a while, and then Hunter, who was at Clemson for 5 years. They want these mature, experienced basketball players.
So based on what you've seen in two games, because, again, Strother was the first-round pick. Pickett was the second, and then Hunter Tyson was later in the second, right? Hunter Tyson. Why do I want to say Tyson Hunter?
Just call him Billy.
Hunter Tyson.
Because he is Billy Hoyle from White Man Can't Jump.
That's what you tweeted out. Yeah, he's Billy Hoyle. Huh?
Well, he made like three threes in a row, and I was like, oh,
well, he's built like Plumlee, but he can shoot. So you don't really expect him to shoot. But based on what we've seen, and again, Gillespie is kind of faded from a lot of people's minds because we didn't see him at all last year. Peyton Watson obviously has been a year under. When you look at the depth chart, who do you see? Has anybody made a better case for their positioning on this depth chart?
I think Hunter Tyson has.
Over a Peyton? Like, has he moved
not high? Over Peyton Watson. I think he's right underneath Peyton in terms of the depth right
now. Has he moved? Okay, so you've got him at least moving up that, what is he, 6'8", so he's not really a center type.
Mm-mm.
But could he play?
He could play.
He could play four. Could he play five?
If you put him and Watson out there, that would be your kind of big matchup or big lineup with those two. In terms of just the rookies,
mm-hmm.
I think Hunter has moved up the most.
Has he been the best performer overall?
I think so.
Yes, because I like what we're seeing from Colin Gillespie, but I also like, where is he throwing that pass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got an attitude. Talking trash, dude. He is
these young guys
mixing
do.
It up with people. A few F-bombs,
well,
get
they
out
get
my face.
10,000 in these games, so they're just... I think it was Hunter.
Gosh.
In game one, he gets fouled, and then he immediately looks to the ref and starts jawing at him. I'm like, you better not do that next year, bro.
Some of it, like Colin, I like him. He got in the face of a couple guys, but then it's also like, if you're doing this
also
in summer
like,
league,
you're around a bunch of young guys. There's not really that leader that's going to put you in your place. Like, you do that when you're in the locker room with the Nuggets, and someone's going to put you down.
I agree with you, though. Hunter Tyson is more the overall player
mm-hmm.
right now. But that's also Peyton Watson's experimenting. He's doing things that he's not going to do next year. I seriously will watch him. I'm like, it's not even really his strength right there.
He's out there just going through it.
Jalen Pickett has had some moments. He hit a few more threes than I thought, you know.
He definitely found his shot in the second game.
Yeah, he did. First half was really good for Denver. They were scoring like crazy, but then it slowed down and got away from him. We know Peyton Watson's going to be in the rotation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have we seen any guys earn rotation minutes?
I would say Hunter.
Yeah.
And
What do we make of Strother?
Strother, I think, is a G League guy. I think he's going to be with the Nuggets Grand Rapids team. Pickett, I could see making this team. And as we talked about last week, I see him kind of taking the transition role with Reggie Jackson, and Reggie will kind of fit that role early on until Pickett's ready to take over for him, and then you'll see that switch.
Over Gillespie?
I got to see what Gillespie can do, and I got to learn how to say his name correctly. Colin.
So I'm looking at the positions. Point guard's going to be interesting, because obviously you got Jamal, and then it's Reggie-ish, Jalen, Colin Gillespie. Like, do you get rid of Ish Smith and put both of those guys on the roster? Now you have...
Yes.
Okay. And then Hunter Tyson, he can play small forward, power forward. Like you said, he could work into both of those positions, backing up an MPJ or a Gordon, or even if they kind of go smaller, you could do some small lineups with him at five or something. So I see that. It's weird because I'm like, I look at Strother and I don't know where he fits right now. Again, there's a long way to go for all this, but where does he... You got MPJ, you got Justin Holiday. You want him to play the Jeff Green role, and I think that's somewhat valuable to you because you liked what Jeff Green brought to the table. And then that's maybe a Hunter Tyson there when you're just going for a little bit different feel, more of a facilitating type. So he can shoot it, though. Mm-hmm. We know that. Yeah, Strother right now, I'm not looking at it going, he's got a nice little floater shot. He made it three or two last night. But it's nothing where I'm like, oh, there's the first-round pick.
Well, the reality is there's two, maybe three spots for these guys to take up. Two bench spots, one guy that's, you know, third stringer.
Yeah, how many do they carry on the active roster? How many will actually be on the active roster, and how many actually suit up? See if you can find that. Is it 10? 10 guys actually suit up? So you get 5 and 5, and then it's you have two or three other guys that are part of your roster, but they're not suiting up because you can only suit up so many. That's when we really have to try to narrow this down as far as, you know, who's going to be on this roster going forward. And that's kind of been the fun thing about seeing Summer League is you kind of can think about that.
So right now, everyone on there, it's at 18.
So you can take 18. How many can you actually suit up? You don't want too many guys on that bench. I always thought it was like, I don't know, 11, 12? Is it 10, 11, 12? Something like that. So if it's 18, you know you got...
If a maximum of 15 players on the roster, 13 can be on the bench during a game.
Okay, so let's just do that then. Let's go through 13 on the bench. Like, who's actually suiting up? And then you said it was... What's the minimum?
15 max.
Okay, 15... max.
And that 13 on the bench includes the starters.
Okay. So Jamal ain't going anywhere. KCP, MPJ, AG, Joker. We got five. We got CB, Christian Brown. We'll go Peyton Watson. I believe it's going to be Reggie Jackson as of right now. And then you've got Justin Holiday is going to kind of just be grandfathered in. Not an old joke.
That's nine.
So that's nine. At 10, is Zeke Nagy at, I mean, where's he fit? He's not, you know, you obviously got DeAndre Jordan and Zeke Nagy. So we're going to say they're in right now, right?
Did you have DJ on that list already?
Nope. So we got Zeke and DJ.
John Char too.
So Zeke... DJ, Chanchar, that's 12. So who's 12? Or who's 13th? Is it your first round pick? Is it Ish Smith? Is it Hunter Tyson? Jalen Pickett? Or Colin Gillespie?
Let's go with Colin.
So you got Colin there, and that's of your 13 suited up, and you got two more guys that can be on the roster. Is that Hunter Tyson?
Hunter and Pickett.
Over Strother, huh?
Mm-hmm. I like Strother. I just don't see a spot for him on this 10-man rotation right now. I would send him to the G League for a year and just see what he can do there.
So Ish Smith gone?
Yep.
What do you do, wave him, cut him?
Sure.
Yeah. The only thing I would interchange maybe is pick, and I like Pickett more, but if you're going to go with Gillespie and you have Reggie Jackson, then maybe you're set at point guard, and then maybe you're looking more for a replacement eventually of Justin Holliday with Strother. But yeah, again, it's not like you're losing him. It's just
right. It all depends on how they want to run that guard rotation. If it's going to be Reggie and Christian to start out, how does that change? And that just depends on how these guys develop on the bench.
Yeah. Well, this is why you watch it, though. There's still some. What do they have? Two more games, so there's still some stuff to be sorted out here. So we'll see. And then I just saw the Spurs are shutting Wimby down. Did you see Pop got the extension too? Greg Popovich is going to be coaching forever, apparently.
Apparently.
Never going anywhere.
Did you watch any of Wimby?
No.
Okay.
Did you? I saw the highlights.
I watched his highlights of his first game just because it was, you know, 2 for 13. He looks awkward out there. Like, he's a little... I worry about him on screens because he's...
Well, he looks like the better version of Bol Bol. It just looks
like
different.
Like on a low screen with him, I worry because, oh my gosh, those knees are terrifying.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a concern. No question about it. Want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Shields. Man, we love this place. They have everything. You're in the golf mode right now. Maybe you need golf balls like Angel. Maybe you need new clubs. You're getting ready to be in some tournaments and all that stuff, and you realize the old ones just aren't doing the trick. You can go to Shields, and they have this awesome virtual deal there where you can blast away and see how you really like the feel of a certain golf club. It's fantastic. That's Shields in Johnstown. 1:41 the time. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Thursday, August 31st, 6 o'clock. That is when the UNC Bears kick off the 2023 season and the Ed Lamb era. And a little birdie tells me that Ed Lamb doesn't like that kind of talk, like the Ed Lamb era, the new Ed in town and all that stuff. Well, we leaned in all in on that on the Provo side. Well, he's exactly what he preaches. You talk to him. He's about the student athletes and everything. Here's Ed Lamb. Blake Olson hooked us up with some video. We'll give you the audio of that video. Here's Ed Lamb talking about his team and kind of what he thinks is really going to help this team.
One of the biggest changes we made with this team right away was coming in and determining where guys were at and then where they should be in the way that we wanted to go. And several guys have made that position change. We've traded quite a few offensive and defensive linemen so that we can look and feel and play in the way that we want to play. Micah Nanning has moved from defensive line to offensive line. Again, it's where his highest potential is. Brady Odom has moved from offensive line to defensive line. Also anticipate him being a little bit of a two-way player, playing some fullback and tight end for us. So excited about what he'll bring to the table. We've been able to give a lot of those offensive linemen that were fluctuating in the 270-pound range some target body weight, so we're bigger. All of our offensive linemen now are in the 300-pound range, and I think that's going to help us a lot on the field. This
moving some players around, different position. Well, it's not uncommon. You see that in college football a lot of times. Guy comes in and maybe thinks, hey, there's more potential with that guy there than where he was the year before that. Camp's coming up. Definitely less than a month away till UNC's back at it. Now, Angel, when I started at UNC, it was 2005, August of 2005. What's interesting about that was the first year, I believe, that they were transitioning into Division I at the FCS level. And I remember talking to the coach at the time, was that Kay? And I interviewed him because I was working for the Mirror, and it's like, he was like, yeah, this is, people don't realize how much of a transition this is going to be. This is going to be really difficult. It's going to be a long process. I don't even think at that point in time, he knew how long of a process it was going to be. And then shortly after that, Ernest Collins Jr. took over the job, had two six-win seasons. We all know what happened with Ed McCaffrey. can Ed Lamb turn this thing around? They're just they've been D1 for a while, dude. Ernest Collins Jr. just kept outlasting it. I think he coached there for 9 seasons, so he was pretty much the coach under most of their time as a D1 team. So can Ed Lamb be the guy that makes this team relevant? I'm not just talking about relevant in the country and the world, whatever. Relevant in the state of Colorado. Because it's possible you can be a D1 FCS team and make some noise. Look at South Dakota State. Look at some of those teams. They made some big noise, man. Can Ed Lamb get this group, you know, with his experience with Southern Utah and BYU? It's all, I hate to say lip service when you talk about a guy like Ed Lamb because he's not a lip service type of guy. But just like you talked about with CU, CSU, you just don't know until you actually see what's going on out there.
Yeah, and in sports, we look for winners and losers. We look for results. That's what tells us if this worked or not. And, you know, with UNC, it's obviously different. You can't just go off of what their record is with where they're at in their program and obviously under this new tenure with Coach Lamb. But you're really just seeing he's talked a lot about what he wants to do here. He's shown us that he wants to do that. He's in the weight room. He's in high schools. He's talking to coaches, talking to these Colorado kids and trying to get them up here. And that's great. Now we're moving into the part of the season where there's no more talking. It's what did you tell your players when you left for the summer? What are you telling them when they get back? How are we going to approach camp? And what is the focus of this team going into the season? Because it's not now, okay, we're getting our team together. We're going to figure out what we're going to do here. We're going to get our coaches together, all that. Now it's we're putting our methods and practices into performance out on the field, in the pads, in, you know, helmets and stuff, and we're running plays, we're running scrimmages, and then we're going to get a real look for what this team and what this culture is going to be like moving forward.
Yeah, because pretty much since, 2002, 2003, when they were still D2, they were good. They were great. And then after that, it's been bad. So you got to get a guy that can really do it. Ernest, I really liked Ernest. Just couldn't compete. Couldn't find whatever that magical combination was to get great recruits here and obviously healthy. I mean, he had a quarterback in Jacob Knipp that just couldn't stay healthy.
7-year guy.
Yeah, and good dude, heck of a quarterback, couldn't stay healthy. Ed McCaffrey obviously went about things kind of the wrong way, it seems like. Now that we're looking back, maybe they got their guy. We'll find out. 1:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. What did we learn today? We'll wrap that up on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
KFKA is your NOCO home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
I learned that, especially talking to Bruce Dick, that the reason I don't get excited about the Major League Baseball draft is because, at best, we'll see these guys in 4 to 5 years. I barely even talked about the Rockies and what they did with their pitching staff. I'm excited that they... Excited is the wrong word. Good. They got pitchers. That's what they needed. Got the guy from Tennessee. But wake me up when he starts. Like, 3 years from now, we're doing the show. You can say, oh, this guy's going Chase Dolander. Oh, yeah, that's right. Who's he? And then we'll go back to this podcast and remember that he was drafted by the Colorado Rockies. Congrats, though, to Walker Martin. That's an amazing feat. I hope it works out, and I hope Bruce is right. In 3 to 4 years, we see him playing a Major League Baseball game. Be pretty special. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned that I cannot wait for football season. I said it a few weeks ago. It's in the air. The trash talk is starting to fly out. We'll get camps going here in a couple of weeks, start our previews for all of our teams, and it'll start the grind here before you know it. But I don't hate CSU. I don't hate CU. UNC.
How hard is it right now for you not to say Sco Buffs right now?
Sco Bears sounds better.
I'm pumped too, man. It's going to be a great time. And we take it seriously as far as covering as many teams as we do. And it's not just the Broncos. We are excited about the Broncos, and I know Angel is. But it's the Bears.
Boise State ones, yeah.
It's the Rams. Why are you excited about them? They're enemies to everybody. It's all of those teams that we're pumped to talk about. And it's going to be a great time. It's the 10th of July, man. We're not that far away, believe it or not. That'll do it for us. Angel, great work as always, my friend. And I won't let you cheer for the Buffs too hard this upcoming season. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.